for the actual parade itself, which took place in the early evening. There were the governor's guard, the governor's house, the pipes and drums and the military band came, but they were basic. The jocks did their kit, marched up and down. They were tourist attractions. We weren't doing soldiering at all. And it became boring. I used to think to myself, I can't wait. There's 9 months to end. We used to run up the rock every Monday. Every Monday, command officer as well. Whole battalion running up the rock. Just for fitness and just get the weekend booze out of you. There were observation posts in the rock to be manned. But, you know, the jocks, once they'd done them a couple of times, it wasn't exciting, because I think they knew at the back of their mind nothing was ever going to happen. Spain was not going to suddenly come up the beaches and, you know, attack us with a great army. And so it was, you know, it was all make-believe. And in fact, when we were getting near the end of the tour, I said to my company commander, I'm sure there's going to be carders, NCO's carders, when we get back to Edinburgh. He said, well, I can assure you now, they're already working on dates. And I said, well, what do you think me taking a company carder now? Let's select some good jocks now and start training them, give them a head start over the other companies. And he said, oh, brilliant idea, go on, I'll leave it up to you. And so on days when the jocks weren't on duty, I took X amount of them on drill, weapon training, what we could do in the event. You were confined. You couldn't go marching up and down the airstrip because there were planes landing. Once a week, they would allow us a battalion parade. And the big, big problem came when the colonel of the regiment decided that he would come to Gibraltar and spend a few days with us. That was Brigadier Sir Bernard Ferguson, Lord Ballantrae. And of course, when the command officer went to the group captain and said, you know, we normally lay on a big parade for the colonel of the regiment, he said, well, you know, how about my aircraft? They've got the land. And so, reluctantly, they worked out a program where we would have the parade before any aircraft, one, were taken off or landing. And we laid on as good as parade as we could in those circumstances. I mean, you couldn't even cross that runway until they were like traffic lights. You had to wait till they were green and you shot across that runway in case they turned to red when you're halfway through, because it'd be a tornado what was coming into land. It was restricted. The parade went off well. Well, of course, Bernard Ferguson was a great soldier, and a great sportsman, a great diplomat. He'd been Governor General of New Zealand. His father, Governor General of New Zealand as well. A great commander in the Chindits, a a great writer as well. But when we took the brigadier into the Saint's mess for drinks at lunch, I think the Royal Air Force really enjoyed the fact that a famous soldier, a famous author, was there, and especially the more senior warrant officers and NCOs in the Royal Air Force, because he spoke to them all, especially men who were wearing the Burma Star, and they were very impressed. And of course, he was a very impressive soldier, very distinguished, and when he wore the monocle as well, you know. But a down-to-earth man, down-to-earth, yeah. But it was a tremendous 3 or 4 day visit. He went all the way round and saw what the jocks did, and you know, and of course he was able to meet up with the deputy fortress commander, Brigadier Mike Wingate Gray, and they'd served together as Black Watch soldiers, and yeah, I'm sure there was many wonderful parties had as well. But it was a morale booster, certainly for the Black Watch. Yeah, yeah. But as I say, you know, training, we had a project while we were there. Each battalion was given a project to help the civilian population, to build something out there so that they would remember you for the rest of your time. And we had to make a viewing point from a certain part of the rock where visitors and the civilian population could view across the harbour, and this in conjunction with the engineers who blew the rock for us and put the tarmac down, make sure the safety barriers, but all the shrubbery and the sort of carrying of bits and pieces, clearing the viewpoint, was done by the jocks. And a platoon would work on this one day a week. And it meant they got out. There was a bit of a skive. They took their haversack rations with them and spent a day there. How much work they did depended really on how enthusiastic their platoon commander and platoon sergeant was. But we managed to get this project completed in time. I think we annoyed everybody by the metal barriers that stopped people falling off. We decided to paint them in white and blue, which was the battalion's colours, and the local mayor dignitaries came up and unveiled the plaque, which said, you know, built by the Black Watch. And I'm told that people who've been back, it's still there today. But that mundane things, not a very good posting, I would say. But of course, 9 months goes. You've now got to think about handing over. How much junk have the jocks accumulated in 9 months? How much are they going to throw out at the last minute? So, again, with my company commander, I said, we'll have a test exercise, sir. We'll appoint a day when we're going to hand over our block. We got all the jocks to throw out everything. I said, and we'll just see how much they throw out. I said, and then we don't need to worry, once we move them back in the block again, how much they're going to throw out when we actually move over. And it was mind-boggling. It was piled high. The corridors were piled high. And of course you had to wait on civilian contractors coming in to move it all. But it proved a point. And when the actual day came, there was very little, and I think everybody was as pleased as punch to be getting on the plane and flying back into Turnhouse. And unfortunately, the captain of the flight, on learning that I was actually going to go down to London that night when we arrived, said, you know, if you can get back into Kirknewton, get everything tied up, I'll fly you down. But it's got to be X time, which was impossible to do. So by the time all the weapons had been checked, kit had all been checked in, passes signed, meant I went down on the train the following day, but gave me a time to sort my own kit out. By then I'd become the proud possessor of a fish tank full of fish in my bunk. A sergeant in the catering corps had been posted all of a sudden, and he knew that I kept fish at home, and had left a fish tank outside my bunk for me. So I had to make sure they were all fully plugged in with the pumps in my bunk, and and went on leave the following day. Another episode really in life in the army and in the Black Watch.